scriptures on which Pastor Bruce is focusing our attention today is found in the middle of the first gospel, Matthew 15. And we'll begin reading there at verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that's what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled out by the roots. Leave them, they're blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit." Peter said, "Explain that parable to us." "Still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands doesn't defile them." Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed, and she's suffering terribly." Jesus didn't answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him, and, "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. And that's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Trust is a beautiful word. We need trust. But my question today is, who do you trust? You might say, "Well, you know, I trust my doctor. My doctor is a person who has the letters MD behind her name. And she graduated from medical school, and she wants what's best for me. She is smart. I trust my doctor." Maybe you say, "I trust the police in our community. They have been commissioned. They've been trained. They know what's legal and what's not. They wear the badge. They carry a gun. And they are there for our good. I trust our police." Or you say, "Teachers in our community. I trust our teachers. They are kind. They care about the children under their responsibility. They can explain things well. They maintain order in the classroom, and they grade fairly. I trust our teachers." Now, if we were to ask not us, but were able to ask Joe Blow, who was living in the land of Israel in the time of Jesus and his disciples, and were to say to that person, "Who do you trust?" They might well and very likely would say, "I trust the Pharisees." The Pharisees are people who know the Bible backwards and forwards. They're the people who have taken on the role of guiding us in the way that we live so that we're obedient to the will of God. They're our pastors, they're our teachers, they're our spiritual guides, and we trust them. But I'll tell you something. Every person that we trust and every role that we trust as a category can be betrayed. That trust can be proven to be, in instances, misplaced. There are stories in the newspaper with disturbing regularity about doctors who take advantage of their patients because of their trust and their vulnerability in their presence. There are stories of police officers belittling people, abusing people, abusing their power, taking bribes and all that kind of stuff. We know of those stories. We hear stories of teachers who belittle their students, who don't have the capacity to actually communicate knowledge, who don't know how to motivate their students or act appropriately towards them. And there were Pharisees. There were Pharisees who were a disgrace to the name Pharisee. They read the Bible, but they did not understand the meaning of it. They were so into tiny little minute observances that they missed the whole point of the thing. And they made lives hard for people, and they distracted their attention away from the truth. These people made Jesus really, really mad. He got angry at Pharisees more than is what anybody else in the Gospels, because these were people who had responsibility for the care of God's flock, and they were so often using their authority to promote their own agenda, to protect their own position, and were leading people away from God. And so Jesus has all kinds of harsh words for them. He said in our text, didn't he, that they were bad weeds who were defiling the garden of God. He said they were blind guides who were leading people who did not know the way along a path that only led to their own hurt and harm. What these Pharisees did is they fell into the trap of proof texting, where they really gravitated towards the individual laws. And in the Old Testament, there are 613 laws, and they knew all of these laws and were really into people obeying the fine points of the law, even making the laws more restrictive, more harsh than they are in the Bible itself, to protect the law. And it was all about obedience and following these rules. But they did not understand, and they did not teach people that the laws and the rules were there to maintain a relationship with God so that you could actually walk with God and have a relationship with God and find peace with God as a member of his community. And so the people that should have known better didn't. And they used their status. They had position. They had a standing in their community, which became very important to them, and they fought to protect their status. Now, these Pharisees, obviously, they come off looking pretty bad. You know, they're doing everything that they shouldn't do. They're not doing any of the things that they should be doing. And in our text, that is contrasted with the woman who comes into our story in the latter part of the reading. Now, when the Pharisees had status on every level, they were at the top in status-wise. This Canaanite woman was at the very bottom of any kind of ladder that you would put together. She was, for one thing, she was a woman. Sorry, ladies, but in the gospel times, in that culture, it was a patriarchal society where men had status and women did not. Men, boys got educated, women did not. And in every way, leadership was given to men and not to women. That was their world. So she was lacking in power and status because of her gender. It also says that she was a Canaanite. Now this is actually quite curious in this text, because Canaanite is an Old Testament term. When Moses came and led the people towards the promised land, and then Joshua actually led the people across the Jordan into the promised land, the people that they had to confront, the ones who stood in the way of them accomplishing God's will for them, were the Canaanites. They were the people who worshipped the Baals, the idol gods. They were the ones that were preventing the people from receiving God's will for them. And they were the enemies. They were the ones that they fought against. The ones that weren't moved out became the tempters for the Israelites. Whenever they fell into spiritual error and started worshiping idols and forsook the worship of God, it was the Canaanites who were tempting them. And when Joanne and I and many others went to Israel earlier this year, we saw the signs of the Canaanites in the excavations. And in all of the cities that to go into the towns, you had to make an offering to gain entrance into the city. And the offering was always to the Baals. You can imagine, you say, well, yeah, I'm an Israelite, I'm trying to do my thing, but I got to do business. It's all about business. And to do business, I got to get into the city. The only way to get into the city is to make this little offering to the Baals. I mean, big deal. It's just a ritual. But those little rituals wormed their way into the hearts and into the minds of people and led them away from God. These Canaanites were the problem. So she was a woman who had a heritage stretching back in time to the enemies of God and the source of temptation. So she has low status to the Jewish community because of her gender and because of her heritage. But there was another thing. It was because of her family. She had a daughter. And that daughter had an evil spirit. It doesn't say what the nature of that evil spirit was. It doesn't say that she had seizures, if she shouted out terrible things or what it was, but clearly this girl was tormented. It was recognized as an evil spirit. And you know that when there is brokenness in a family, that the whole family seems to get painted by that reality. It's not fair. It's not right. But that's what happens. This poor family had this poor girl who was so tormented. So it's hard to imagine a person who has lower status than this woman identified as a Canaanite woman with a daughter who has an evil spirit. And that woman comes up to Jesus. And what comes out of her mouth? She says, Lord. She says, Son of David. What those are words of respect to Jesus and recognition of who he is. She has been given an insight into Jesus, and that is spoken out of her by her words. The next thing she says is, have mercy on me. Jesus, Lord, Son of David, I recognize you. Have mercy on me means I know that you have the power and the authority to insert mercy and grace into my life. Those are words of faith. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then she says, help my daughter. She says words of love for her kid, this tormented child. This child that even as she was in this low status position, pushed her even lower to the ground. She says words of love. She does not abandon her child. She goes to the one that she recognizes and respects, in whom she has a faith, and asks for this as a expression of love. Jesus, it's curious. Then even the commentators, when you look in the Bible commentaries about this passage, they really struggle with Jesus' response here. It's one of these hard sayings in the Bible, because at first Jesus doesn't seem to know what to do with this woman. I think what we see here is an important lesson about the nature of Christ. And here I'm going a little digression into some theology stuff. But we talk about Jesus having two natures, that he is 100% God, that he is fully divine. He is the Son of God. And we say Jesus is 100% human, that he is truly the Son of Mary, that he took on our humanity, and it wasn't just a show, it wasn't just a pretend. He truly became human. Well, in this instance, I believe that what we see is Jesus' humanity fully on display. A little nervous even for us to talk about this, because we like to talk about Jesus' divinity. We get uncomfortable talking about his humanity. But Jesus was a Jewish man, raised in a Jewish family, part of the Jewish community, and he understood his mission to speak to the Jewish people. And then here comes this woman who's a Canaanite woman, who is troubled with a demon-possessed daughter. And you really really get the feeling, and I think it's even right to say, Jesus wasn't sure what to say. You get the feeling, as you read this, that Jesus, that the wheels are turning. What am I supposed to do? What is right? What is holiness require? What does justice mean when I, a Jewish man, called to minister to the Jews, now have this Canaanite woman coming to me? The disciples are there encouraging him, just get rid of her. Just tell her to get lost. She's not your mission. She's not your people. Tell her to go. But the lady doesn't give up, does she? She comes, she gets right in Jesus' space, gets down on her knees before him, another sign of humility, another sign of respect, and again pleads for help. Lord, help me. You have the power, you have the authority, you have the capacity to help me and my poor daughter. Help me. And Jesus again says something remarkable. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. It's like, ouch. When you read that, you kind of wince a little when Pastor Ari read those words. Now, the word dogs in the Greek doesn't mean like strays on the streets. These aren't the kind of dogs that prowl around the garbage dumps. The word dog here is actually a very specialized term. It means a house dog. It means a pet. The dog that's in your house. And it's actually not as insulting to the original hearers as it sounds to us when we read it in English in our culture. But Jesus, who was thinking that his ministry is to the Jews, understands that the disciples are going to be the ones who spread the news of salvation and grace and the mercy of God to the Gentiles. He didn't understand that it was, in this instance, it was also his ministry. So he says this. Kind of like a truism, right? You don't give the bread that is meant for your children to the dogs. You don't do that. But what she replied was amazing. She said, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." What I'd like you to understand is that Jesus was a rabbi. Jesus taught in rabbinical style. And the rabbis would use parables and sayings to teach deep truths. The Pharisees, who were rabbis, did not understand Jesus' teaching. They did not recognize him as an authoritative leader to be trusted. And they did not speak to Jesus as rabbis would. The whole passage has a pre-story where the disciples had been walking along and picking some heads of grain to nibble on as they walked. And the Pharisees said, "Aha! You're breaking the law. You're harvesting on the Lord's day, and that is a desecration of the law of God." And Jesus says, "Oh, come on." And from there, he goes into the passage that we read. It's not what you take in that makes you unclean. It's the things that come out of you. And what these Pharisees were coming out with was judgment and harshness and failure to understand the word of God and to really help people. What came out of their mouth was not the will of God. And then there's this woman, this Canaanite, this woman with a demon-possessed daughter. Jesus says a rabbinical truth to them, to this woman. It is not right to give the bread that goes to the children to the dogs. And then look at what she says. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She is speaking like a rabbi. That's what a rabbi would say. That's what somebody who is very well trained and articulate in the rabbinical style and in rabbinical leadership, who really knew the word of God, understand its spirit and its momentum, she speaks the words of a rabbi. And in these words, we find humility. She doesn't say, "How dare you call me a dog?" She doesn't dismiss Jesus and say, "Well, he's no good to me," and walk away. She says, "No, I understand who I am. I am a broken and needy person." We see humility. We also hear great wisdom. The wisdom of someone who is in tune with God, who acknowledges the source of blessing and knows who is the master. And because she shows what is coming out of her mouth reflects the condition of her heart, Jesus says, "How great is your faith, and your daughter is healed. Your request is granted, your prayer is heard." She received the crumbs of grace, and the crumbs of grace were sufficient to meet every need she had. You know, we are called to be Pharisees in the very best understanding of that term. We are called to be people who know the Word of God, not just in proof texts, not just in our favorite little hobby horse verses, but we are to understand the Word in its spirit and in its totality, and walk in obedience to the full revelation of God. We are to be students of the Word who seek to know it deeply. And knowing it, it is our calling as Pharisees to help others to live in obedience to that great revelation. So they understand the Word. They know who is the author. They have a relationship with the Master, the Lord, the Son of David. People who recognize Christ for who he is and help others to see him as well. So the lesson for us, the thing that we need to ask ourselves is, what is it that is coming out of our mouths? What are the values and the beliefs, the perspective on things spiritual and eternal, demonstrated by the way we talk, the way we live, how we act and behave? If we are to be true Pharisees in the style of the Canaanite woman, that we are to be people with humility. We don't think we're all puffed up with pride. We shouldn't be all puffed up with pride. We don't think we're better than we are. We understand that we are the dogs. We're not the prominent. We are the little ones. But the crumbs of grace come to us, and we are lifted up, not because of ourselves, but because of the goodness of God. We have that humility. We have love. Love for the broken among us. Love like a woman has for her daughter with an evil spirit. Love for people who are afflicted and perishing. People who are troubled and need to know the touch of grace, to feel the hand of the Master. Demonstrate respect. As I was reading this passage over and over this week, this woman, the respect that she had for Jesus just kept ringing out. And the disrespect that the Pharisees had for Jesus was unavoidable. You couldn't miss it. We're called to be people who respect the Lord. People of faith who have a real sense of a reconnection to the Lord, to our Master. That we know that He is the source of all of our hope, and that our longing eyes rest on Him. And we are to be people of wisdom. I think that maybe that Canaanite woman is one of the wisest people in the whole New Testament. Look at the disciples. They kept messing up. They kept saying really crazy things, showing that again and again they just didn't have the understanding and the wisdom to lead the church. That came later. But this woman already has such deep wisdom. It's an example to us, a challenge to us to seek that for the blessing of the kingdom. And to all this, we add obedience. That we hear, we can come to understand, but then we will live in obedience to the word and the will of God. We began this by talking about who do you trust. Well, let yourself be a person who is trusted. Live and speak in such a way that people will recognize you as a person who knows the Master, who demonstrates the love and the wisdom and the humility and the faith and the respect that is befitting of a follower of the Christ. And when we are that, then we will hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. Let's pray. And I'd like to have our prayer include the needs of the congregation as well. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful story. It's a challenging piece of your word. And it's still a lovely one. We can think about this passage for days and days, for all our days, and never come to the end of the contemplations. But we thank you that it so clearly shows your power and your mercy to this poor woman who was given faith and wisdom. May it be that we have faith and wisdom like that, because we know that would be a great blessing to us as a community to have us be that way, and it would be a great blessing to the world, our society, which is longing for wisdom, longing for love in the context of faith. Lord, we pray that you will be with us as a church, especially this week as our Vacation Bible School will be conducted. For all the families that are preparing to send their children here, for all those kids who are going to learn lessons, we ask a blessing upon them. We ask that your Holy Spirit will penetrate into hearts and minds and convict of truth. We pray for the teachers and the people that are contributing and assisting in so many ways. Let them have a joyous week where they are seen to be true disciples of Christ. We ask this day that you continue to be with Wally and Cynthia cycling in the sea-to-sea tour to end poverty, and for Margaret, who is providing support to all the riders. We pray for safety for them. We ask for joy for them and fun as they are making their way. Lord, let them be making a difference. And let people know that poverty can be alleviated. We pray for our world in which there is so much discrimination. We talked about this Canaanite woman and how she was perceived. Or we know that there are people who have lots and lots of hate, who scorn people because of their color or because of their heritage or because of their religion. And we speak against that together, Lord. And to you we raise our lament that people would be so racist and so hateful. May it be that we see ourselves as all image bearers of yours, worthy of respect and patience. Or for those that are trapped in that kind of broken thinking, we ask that you would transform their minds and let them see the better way. Lord, your church is all around the world. And in places it is troubled by persecution. And some places it is tempted in terrible ways. Indeed, we feel ourselves tempted to give in to materialism and the individualistic worship of self. Lord, keep us from that. And help people to see the true way. For all the other things that are happening, we ask for your blessing. For the preparations for the migrant dinner, may we respond to that. And we ask a blessing also on the people who are far from their homes and working in the fields and in different places. Keep them safe and bless them. Lord in heaven, we pray all this in the name of Jesus, who is Christ, the Messiah, who is risen from the dead, who is seated at your right hand, who is coming back to judge the living and the dead. We pray, trusting in his name. Amen.